Welcome to Rarely One Talks podcast, where we explore the world's most intriguing mysteries and unexplained phenomena, alongside with some paranormal experiences, some UFOs, some cryptids, some aliens, and all things conspiracy. Today, we are diving into Alaska. We are going to try and put a square peg into a triangle hole. Yes, we are looking at the Alaskan Triangle. What is the Alaskan Triangle? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. A region known for its high number of disappearances and UFO sightings and paranormal activity. Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a wild fucking ride. Ah, yes. Alaskan Triangle, baby. Alaskan Triangle. Now, if you are watching this on YouTube or Rumble, I do put them up on YouTube and Rumble. I have the background. It's all changed. It's a little bit newer. I've got a few of me little widgety things, gadgety things, memorabilia thingies, my bobs. I've got all that loveliness in. Before we kick off with tonight's show,
viewer discretion is advised.
It is advised because we are going down some pathways that are intriguing, mysterious, and downright strange. Little ones may find it perplexing and scary. Hopefully a little bit scary. So be aware of the Alaskan Triangle. And yes, I'm sweating my fucking tits off. This is summer, and in the UK, it's either hot or fucking miserable. But I would rather it be hot all the fucking time. I can always cool myself down. When you're horrible and miserable, it's fucking just hard to get yourself out of that fucking mindset. But anyway, if you are new here, thank you and welcome. How the hell did you get here? How the hell? I will give yourselves one of these. Welcome. Enough of that. Enough of that messing around, young rarity one. Enough of that, you bastard. But yes, like I say at the start of this, I like to cover all things conspiracy, paranormal, unexplained mysteries, ghosts, aliens, UFOs, conspiracies themselves. That's what I like to do here. I'm heavily dyslexic, even with the stuff I've wrote myself, so I understand if that puts you off. I really, really do. I hope it doesn't, but I understand if it does. You can play a shot game, though. But how many times I fuck up, play a shot game. Have a shot of fireball. I might get a fireball and join you with it every time I fuck up. Maybe do that when I go away. And I interrupt myself all the goddamn time. I do try and get better. I really do. But these podcasts are a pathway. I try and stay on the pathway. But there's little snickets, there's little alleyways, there's little 10-foots, there's little roads I can go down. And I will go down them because I like to interrupt myself all the time. So I do go down them, but I do get on the pathway. I do get back on the pathway. But anyway, we are talking the Alaskan Triangle. But before we do that, as I normally do on these, I do drink. And I am drinking. It is a cider without compromise. This is a pulpit, or pulpit, P-U-L-P-T. It's a Melba, no idea. White peach and Scottish raspberry flavoured cider. It is 3.4%, so it's not going to be, it's not going to get you too fucking wrecked, but I do like the little description on a back. A lip-smacking blend of real craft cider, ripe with peaches and plump Scottish raspberries. Arguably the best fruit combo you have ever tasted. I'll be the judge of that. Cider profile. It's got a profile. Let's see if you can see that. I have no idea what it is. Intensity. It's quite high on the intensity. Fruitiness. It's high on the fruitiness. Acidity. It's not too bad. Sweetness, again, it's quite high in the sweetness. and dryness is not behind the dryness, thankfully. Let's crack this open and let's have a review of this. So cue that gay music and let's bottoms up. Cheers. Oh, that's nice. Oh, fuck me. I didn't give you the sniff test first. Oh, it's peach. You definitely smell the peaches. You don't smell the... You get the strong whiff of the peach, and then you get the raspberry in the back. You don't get much cider in there, folks. You don't get much cider, but the first sip was actually delicious. Oh, that is a superb drink. That is a superb drink. Oh, that is refreshing. Oh, that is... I can imagine myself getting really some heartburn off this. But it's refreshing. It's peachy. It's very peachy, but as you're taking it, as you're getting it down your gob, yeah, as you're having a big old gulp, you do get the raspberries in the back. You don't get much sharpness or heat from the cider itself, which I do appreciate. It's, like I say, it's actually fucking very, very nice. Very nice. And yeah, I would argue that is quite a combo, peach and Scottish raspberry. Fucking definitely recommend that. I got it from Tesco's, folks. But if you're wanting to look for it, that's what it looks like. Melba, pulpit, puppet. I don't know. Oh, that's delicious, folks. That's delicious. But anyway, I will give that a 9. So cut that gay music and let's get on with tonight's show. The Alaskan Triangle stretches between Anchorage, Juneau, and... I'm going to read it out, folks, because this is quite... I'm going to butcher this one.
Utqiagvik.
I would butcher the fuck out of that one. So, the Alaskan Triangle stretches between them. I do have a picture, but I'm not sharing my screen. It looks half the fucking size of the state itself. And if you're unaware what the size of Alaska is, it's massive. It's the biggest state in America. It's absolutely huge. It takes up, I would say, is probably, it by the looks of it, it looks like it could be the size of California and Texas together. I'm probably wrong there, but that's what it looks like. It looks absolute fucking massive. Massive. Alaska is very beautiful as well. So it covering a vast expanse of rugged wilderness, and since 1972 over 20,000 people have vanished in this area alone, including hikers, tourists and even planes. But what makes this region so mysterious? Is it the harsh terrain, the unpredictable weather, or just really bad case of I don't want to be found syndrome? The only reason I was sort of looking up this, I came across a YouTube video of a... I often watch videos of the van life in it. And this one guy was in Whittier, Alaska. I probably butchered that name. This little town that you can only visit by going through this one stretch of road that goes through a tunnel under a glacier, but it's only a one lane road, which also holds the rail line. So it's a road, but it also is the main thoroughfare for the trains. 45 minutes one way comes in, the next 45 minutes the other way go in, and the other 45 minutes the trains go in. And that tunnel does close after a certain point, so if you haven't left by 10 p.m. I'm probably butchering it. You're actually stuck in this beautiful seaside town. I was looking at this place and I thought, fuck me, I bet there's some haunted stories. There is, but they're not really. They're only a couple that I found, and it wasn't that exciting. I say exciting, it wasn't. Maybe if I do a show, a compilation of ghost stories, maybe I will include it. I definitely want to visit this place, though. I definitely want to visit this place. Whittatia, Alaska. Sorry if I butchered the town name. I really do. Like many parts of this state, has its share of intriguing stories and sightings related to the paranormal activity and UFOs. Alaska is known for its high number of UFO sightings and mysterious occurrences, often attributing to its vast remote wildness. Now, the population of Whittatia is round about 250 to 275, and they all, and about 250 live in one building. Well, technically it's three buildings, but it looks like it's one building, but they built three buildings just very close to one another, and they've done that for tremors and earthquakes. It looks beautiful. It really does look beautiful, rugged. Alaska itself looks like a beautiful state. Beautiful state. All like country, snowy countryside, cold, harsh. And if you are silly, it will take you. Alaska will take you if you're silly. It's somewhere that I do dream of visiting one day. I really do, just because there is so many UFO sightings and some strange phenomena within the state itself. But we are talking about the Triangle today. We are talking about the Triangle. While Whittatia itself isn't in the Alaskan Triangle, so here are some of the key points about the Alaskan Triangle. Disappearance since 1972, over 20,000 people have vanished. Most famous cases is the disappearance of plane carrying U.S. House Majority Leader Hale Boggs in 1972. UFO sightings. There have been numerous reports of U.S. UFO sightings in the Alaskan Triangle. One of the most famous incidents involves the Japanese airline flight in 1986, where a crew reported seeing a large unidentified object following their plane. Now, at that time, UFOs, if you were a pilot and you came out, you saw a UFO, that was it. You were grounded. You were grounded. So I think they came out and then they quickly redacted their statement. I'm not 100%. I know the story, but it was a long time ago. So I would have to look into it again, but it definitely deserves its own show. Paranormal activity. The region is also known for various paranormal phenomena, including sightings of strange creatures and unexplained lights. Some theories suggest that the area might have energy vortexes that cause these unusual occurrences. So, several theories attempt to explain the mysterious of the Alaskan Triangle, ranging from natural causes like harsh weather and difficult terrain to more supernatural explanations involving extraterrestrial activity and energy anomalies. So let's start with the most famous disappearance. In 1972, a plane carrying U.S. House Majority Leader Hale Boggs and Representative Nick Begich vanished while flying from Anchorage to Juneau. Despite an extensive search involving 40 military aircraft and 50 civilian planes, no trace of the plane or its passengers were ever found. This incident brought significant attention to the Alaskan Triangle, and it remains one of the most famous cases of disappearance. It's unbelievable that someone that notable went missing. The house leader and a representative went missing, and their plane was never to be seen of again. Passengers were never to be seen of again. Not even parts of the plane were spotted. It's so, what the fuck is happening? And yes, it is a vast place. Could it have crashed into a lake, a ravine, and just never emerged from the bottoms of its ocean or river? Oh, it's definitely fascinating. I do have the stories up, but the missing hikers, numerous hikers and tourists have disappeared in the Alaskan Triangle over the years. The harsh terrain and unpredictable weather makes search and rescue operations extremely challenging, often leading to cases where no remains are ever found. The vanishing village of Port Lock. In the 1940s, the entire village of Port Lock was abandoned after a series of mysterious deaths and disappearances. Villagers reported seeing a large, hairy creature believed to be a Bigfoot-like entity, which they blame for the deaths. The fear and unexplained events led to remaining residents fleeing the village. And then, you know, talking about the Japanese airline flight, flight 1628 in 1986, the crew of Japanese Airlines flight 1628 reported seeing a large unidentified object following their plane while flying over Alaska. Although this incident didn't result in any sort of disappearances, it remains one of the most famous UFO sightings in the region. It's one of the most famous sightings because it's not just reported by any Tom, Dick and Harry. It's actually reported by an airline pilot, highly respected airline pilot. And them telling these stories, they jeopardize their career. They really jeopardize their career by telling these stories. So it doesn't make sense for them to make up this story. That sighting definitely deserves a show of its own. But we've already got next week's show locked in. So a couple of fun facts. Now, I am over here at Strange Outdoors and the strange stories of the Alaskan Triangle. Fun facts, or maybe not so fun. In any given year, 500 to 2,000 people go missing in Alaska, never to be seen again. Authorities conduct hundreds of rescue missions, most often return without finding the missing person or any evidence at all. There are more than 3,000 rivers and 3 million lakes in Alaska. Is that real? That can't be real. 3 million lakes in Alaska. Alaska has more coastline than the rest of the United States combined. About 5% of Alaska is covered by the 1,000 plus glaciers. Whew. So there's a whole load of fun facts. I've only reading out a couple of them. Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, can be seen an average of 243 days a year in Fairbanks. Fairbanks is Alaska's capital. No, it's not. Anchorage is the capital. Fairbanks is the second biggest city, if I'm not mistaken. In 1972, two prominent politicians, House Majority Leader Hale and Representative Nick, along with aide Russell Brown and Bush pilot Don Johns, mysteriously vanished in the region while on their way back from Anchorage to Juneau. Whilst flying in their Cessna 310 aircraft, an intense search it lasted for 39 days, including 400 aircrafts, an SR-71, dozens of boats, including 12 from the Coast Guard, and the search area covered over 32,000 square miles, which are about the size of South Carolina. No evidence of the plane was ever found, and the men were declared dead. At the time, conspiracy theorists claiming the disappearance was orchestrated to or a cover-up by the FBI director J. Edgar Hoover in response to intense political struggles he had with Boggs. To this day, no traces of the plane or men have ever been found. And the notable one on this website was aliens. Since 1998, there have been over 560 reported UFOs per the National UFO Reporting Center in Alaska, with a majority of sightings in Alaska Triangle, a large alien base. In his 1997 book, Remote Viewers, Jim Schnabel told the story of the U.S. intelligence community's involvement in the controversial issue of psychic spying that largely began in the early to mid-70s. Commenting on the skills of a talented remote viewer in relation to matters of UFO nature, one Pat Price, Schnabel noted Price was of the opinion that Alaska's Mount Hayes, the jewel of the glacier range northeast of Anchorage, housed one of the aliens' largest bases. According to Pat Price, the aliens that lived deep inside Mount Hayes were very human-looking, different only in their heart, lungs, blood, and eyes. It's not very different. Obviously, he added that the aliens used thought transfer for motor control of us. Price added that the site had also been responsible for strange activity, malfunction of the US and Soviet space objects. Rather notably, despite the controversial nature of his story, we find that the US military took a great deal of interest in the tales of the UFO activity in Alaska in the formative years of the subject. For example, formerly classified FBI files tell of sightings, UFOs, encounters in Alaska in the period 1947 to 1950. It wouldn't surprise me if there is an alien base. Now, this article goes on for a long fucking time, and like I say, it does actually deserve a show of its own. And I'm just going to butcher it because I'm only just peeling the layers back of that onion. But it wouldn't surprise me if there is a base. You know, a lot of people do go missing. Could aliens be involved? Could US government be involved? Could be corporations be involved? They capture humans, they abduct humans that, you know, maybe are doing the nomad lifestyle, and no one really won't know they went missing for a couple of months or a week or two. You know, could they terrorize small villages that are quite remote? It wouldn't surprise me if the governments of the world have that sort of base up there, if aliens have a base up there, if the aliens are, like they said in the article, were human-looking, human-like, who knows? Maybe, you know, they're the ones driving up and down the highways of Alaska, flying up and down Alaska. Maybe, you know, maybe the aliens do look like your typical grey alien, and maybe they just abduct your honest Joe working class person, or your Sally. I want to be in the kitchen. Maybe they just abduct them, take them to the base, do their experiments, you know, maybe hold them, maybe try and make them into human hybrids. Who knows? But like I say, that is an episode what I'm going to have to do. It's an episode that I will be doing. I've looking into the Alaskan Triangle, it's given me not just one episode, it's given me 3 episodes that I can go into. So I'm pleased about that. I'm really pleased about that. But anyway, so what are the theories behind the disappearance? So the disappearance in the Alaskan Triangle have sparked numerous theories ranging from natural explanations to more supernatural ones. The harsh environment conditions, the Alaska Triangle accompanies vast rugged wilderness with dense forest, treacherous terrain and unpredictable weather. These conditions can easily disorientate, endanger even experienced adventurers, leading to accidents and even disappearances. Wildlife. The wildlife in Alaska isn't to be messed with. Alaska is home to large predators like bears and wolves. Encounters with these animals can be fatal. And the dense wildness can make it difficult to find the remains. Energy vortexes. Some believe that the Alaska Triangle contains energy vortexes, which are areas where the Earth's energy is concentrated. These vortexes are thought to cause confusion, disorientation and even distortions. Vortexes spinning counterclockwise are considered particularly dangerous. Extraterrestrial activities. UFO sightings are common in Alaska. 560 odd in 1947 to 1950. Some theorize that extraterrestrial beings might be responsible for some of the disappearances. Paranormal phenomena. There are also stories of paranormal activity, including sightings of strange creatures and unexplained lights. Some local legends speak of shape-shifting demons. Tlingit Indian, sorry if I butchered that name, the law of the Kushtaka, which is going to be next week's episode, the Kushtaka. I butchered that name as well, I do apologise, which are said to lure people to their doom. Human factors, in some cases, disappearance might be due to human actions such as foul play or people intentionally going off grid. The remote and vast nature of the area makes it an ideal place for those looking to disappear. Not a bad place to go disappear, I suppose. So what do believers think about the Alaska Triangle? Have various intriguing theories to explain the high number of disappearances and strange occurrences in the region. Energy vortexes, which we've gone over, the extraterrestrial activity, portals and other dimensions. Other theories is that the Alaska Triangle might be a portal to another dimension. This idea suggests that people and objects could be transported to other realms, explaining why no traces are found. Now, that might actually sound fucking crazy, a lot of people do think Bigfoot could be from another dimension. Bigfoot could quite possibly be from another dimension. I've heard that quite a few times. That would make sense. Especially in Alaska, if people are saying that they're portals to other dimensions. Who knows? There's maybe a natural portal. Maybe with the energy vortexes, maybe there's a couple of energy vortexes close to one another. Maybe one's going clockwise, maybe one's going counterclockwise. And in the middle of them vortexes is a portal to another dimension. Maybe it's only ignited every third day, every third week of the year, or, something crazy like that. Definitely interesting. Another paranormal phenomena which we've gone over, Bigfoot. Some believe that Bigfoot or other cryptids might inhabit the dense forests of Alaska Triangle, contributing to the mysterious disappearances. And lastly, the one I suspect, government cover-ups. A more conspiratorial theory is that the government might be involved in covering up the true causes of the disappearances, possible related to secret experiments or hidden bases. Maybe the governments have a pact with aliens. Maybe the governments have a pact with the Bigfoots from Dimension 23. Who knows? That'd be quite interesting. The governments have found the Bigfoots from Dimension 23. They come through, and the Bigfoots are like, "Yo, we want some of your people to eat." And the government's, "Well, fuck, you can't have us. How about, you know, you take a few, you know, you chew on them, microwave them up after a bit, you enjoy them, you know, maybe throw them on the barbie. Come back, we'll have a few more ready for you." And maybe the Bigfoots from Dimension 23 are like, "Yeah, sounds like a good plan. We don't even have to fucking hunt." Who knows? That's just a crazy thought I had. But that's probably my high: government cover-ups. Now, if you are planning a trip, if you are planning to go remote, if you're planning to disappear, you're thinking, If you're already planning that, you probably know how to keep yourself safe. But how to stay safe exploring the Alaska Triangle? It can be exciting adventure, but it's essential to take precautions to ensure your safety. It is Alaska. It's not quite as dangerous as Australia, where everything wants to kill you. Only half the things that want to kill you. But you have the weather in Australia, well, to contend with. And I'd rather be hot than cold. To ensure your safety, here are some tips to help protect yourself if you are interested. Prepare thoroughly. Research, learn about the area you plan to visit, including weather conditions, terrain, and potential hazards. Is there been bear sightings in the place you're looking to visit? Mooses, wolves, you know, has there been a flash flood? Plan your route, have a clear plan and share it with someone who can check on you. Definitely check weather forecasts. Alaska's weather can change rapidly, so stay up to date on the forecasts. Don't just go off Apple weather. Go off the Met. Go off some high-tech weather equipment. Equip yourself properly. Navigation tools. Carry a GPS device, maps, a compass. Ensure you know how to use them. Have a satellite phone. Take a satellite phone as well. Emergency supplies. Pack a first aid kit, extra food, water, and warm clothing. I would go a step further and maybe have a box. So at the start of your journey, and you go a mile into your location that you're searching, put a box of food, medical supplies, warm clothing, or some sort of clothing that could maybe keep you. So maybe not a box, maybe like one of them waterproof containers, things that can keep stuff dry, and keep stuff so they won't freeze. But if you do land into a spot above her, at least you know back in the way you came, there is some items where you can maybe use you can maybe, you, there's maybe a satellite phone in there, there's maybe, there's some food in there, there's some, a change of clothing, footwear, water, all that good stuff. Is that going a step further? I don't know. Emergency supplies, pack a first aid kit, extra food, water and warm clothing, communication devices, bring a satellite phone, a personal locator, a beacon, a PLB for emergencies, travel with a group, safety in numbers. Traveling with others can provide additional safety and support. Stay together, avoid splitting up. You're not in a Scooby-Doo show, so don't separate, especially in unfamiliar and challenging terrain. Stay aware of the wildlife, bear safety, learn how to avoid bear encounters, and carry bear spray, maybe a gun as well. Wildlife awareness, be aware of the wildlife and know how to react if you encounter them. Respect the environment, leave no trace, follow principles of leaving no trace to minimize your impact on the environment. It's not good if you got lost, and how can people track you if you're not leaving sweet wrappers or beer cans? That's no good. It's no good, is it? Hansel and Gretel wouldn't have got found if I left a fucking trail of breadcrumbs. Fuck the environment. I'm joking. Stay on trails, stick to established trails and avoid getting lost. Well, duh. Be prepared. I put that in there, so I would go, well, duh. It's not funny, I know. I try to be funny. I do try to be funny. Be prepared for emergencies. Know basic survival skills. Learn how to build a shelter, start a fire, and find water. Emergency contacts. Have a list of emergency contacts and know how to reach local authorities. Last, but the most important, especially if you're searching the strange, trust your instincts, people. If you are going UFO hunting, paranormal investigating, especially in Alaska, trust your instincts. Listen to your gut. If something feels off, trust your instincts and take precautions. Definitely. If that's telling you this don't feel right, this don't feel kosher, get the fuck away. Get the fuck away. The amount of times I hear people tell the story, it just didn't feel right, but we still continued and we all dead. Trust your gut, people. Trust your gut. On another one, emergency contacts. This is probably a no-brainer, but if you are going out into this environment, make sure you've got people outside that if they haven't heard from you on like the fourth day or the first day you're supposed to get back, they are to highlight, they are to get in touch with people who can go out and search. So what do the skeptics say about the explanations of the mysterious disappearances, the phenomena reported in Alaskan Triangle? So hear what they say. Harsh environment conditions. So this is skeptics, where we're talking about the paranormal, we're talking about UFOs, we're just talking about mysterious. So the skeptics say the harsh environment conditions. Skeptics argue that the rugged terrain, dense forest and extreme weather conditions factor in the wildlife in Alaska, in the Alaskan Triangle, are the primary reasons for the high number of disappearances. They're not wrong, but I still tend to believe the Alaska Triangle is real. I'll get into my thoughts at the end. The area is vast and remote, making searches and rescue operations extremely challenging. It's easier for people to get lost or succumb to the elements. Wildlife encounters. Alaska is home to large predators, which we've just gone over. encounters with these animals can be fatal. And yeah, which we're gonna know. Human error. Many of the disappearances could be due to human. There could be a stalker. There could be a serial killer. There could be people just doing the horrible shit to these type of people. People's poor planning. These so-called hikers have the greatest intentions, but they've gone off track. They didn't prepare, and they got lost. They got cold. They got frostbitten. They got disappeared, unfortunately. People who venture into Alaska Triangle without proper equipment or knowledge are more likely to encounter trouble. There's a lot of people who go up there intentionally to kill, to get people lost. It's an easy way if you've got a business partner who you want to kill off, take him on a trip to Alaska, or her on a trip to Alaska, make sure they get lost, come back and I had an alibi that day. natural accidents such as avalanches, landslides and sudden weather changes are common in Alaska. These events can quickly overwhelm even the experienced adventurers, leading to the disappearances. Statistical anomalies. Some skeptics point out the high number of disappearances might simply be a statistical anomaly, given the vast and sparsely populated nature of Alaska. The rate of disappearance might appear to be higher compared to more dense populated areas. Lack of evidence for supernatural causes. Skeptics emphasize the lack of concrete evidence supporting supernatural or extraterrestrial explanations. Well, they really sort of tell them on themselves, you know, with harsh environment, where they're saying it, people go disappear, easily get lost with no traces. If lack of evidence for supernatural, it's easy for the evidence to get lost, disappear. So the skeptics emphasize on the lack of concrete evidence, which you really just said, you know, people get lost like that and the evidence gets lost like that, disappears. So how about supernatural? Evidence supporting the supernatural or extraterrestrial. They argue that while stories of UFO and paranormal activities are intriguing, they often lack verifiable proof and can be attributed to misinterpretations or exaggerations. So in summary, the skeptics are fucking scumbags. No, jokes aside, in summary, skeptics believe that the mysteries of Alaska Triangle can be explained by a combination of natural dangers, human error, or statistical factors. They argue that while the stories are fascinating, they don't necessarily point to anything supernatural. I disagree. I think a lot of these stories do point to the supernatural, extraterrestrial, and all things strange. So, the conclusion, my thoughts, the Alaskan Triangle is definitely far more intriguing than the Bermuda Triangle. I tend to believe on the strange. I tend to believe there's a lot more stories of the strange that point to, you know, it could be a Bigfoot, could be an alien, could be a UFO, could be vortexes, it could be people just getting lost as well. But I tend to believe the Alaskan Triangle. So much weirdness with this case, so much weirdness within this case. But the Alaskan Triangle remains one of the world's most intriguing mysteries, blending elements of natural danger with the supernatural. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, there's no denying the allure of this region. Just remember, if you have Just remember, if you hear strange noises or see mysterious lights, it might be time to head back to civilization, or at least have a good story to tell. So next week's episode is going to be on the Kushtaka shape-shifting creatures. And yes, I did say we're going to be having a break from the cryptids. We are just venturing back into the cryptids. Me and the cryptids, we broke up. It wasn't nice. I'm going to have to go and get my toothbrush, and I think I left a couple of pairs of boxes. It's not going to be fun. We're going to have to, you know, sneak back in and get my toothbrush and underpants. And we are going to be talking about the Kushtaka shape-shifting creatures from Alaska. This is going to be my Alaska little series of Alaska. Started off with the Alaskan Triangle. So if you are interested, hit that follow button and don't miss out on next week's episode. So thanks for joining me on this journey of the unknown. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe and share. And let me know in the comments what you think about the Alaskan Triangle. You know, get in touch with me, email me, Facebook message me, hit me up on Twitter, DM. Get in touch with me. I want to hear your thoughts on the Alaskan Triangle. Until next time, stay curious and maybe, just maybe, avoid the mysterious triangles. And maybe the Alaskan Triangle doesn't fit in that circle hole. Until next time, stay curious, stay spooky, but more importantly, stay fucking filthy. I will see you next week. Peace.